This morning we're going to do something a little different for our scripture reading. Normally we read a scripture from the alternate testament to the Bible. We're in the Old Testament, so we would be reading from the New Testament. But as our scripture passage for this morning, for the message is quite long, I'm asking that Rod would read the first portion of it for our scripture right now from Isaiah 36, and he'll read that. And because it's part of what's going to be covered in the sermon, I will not be giving you a little explanation of it afterward. So, Rod, if you will come forward and read for us Isaiah 36 at this time.
All right, again, our passage this morning comes from Isaiah 36, and that's page 596 of your pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 36. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. And there came out to him Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household of Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said to them, "Say to Hezekiah, thus says the great king and the king of Assyria, on what do you rest this trust of yours? Do you think that mere words are strategy and power for war? And whom do you now trust that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you are trusting in Egypt, that broken reed staff which will pierce the hand of any man who leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has removed, saying to Judah and to Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before this altar'? Come now, make a wager with my master, the king of Assyria. I'll give you 2,000 horses, if you are able on your part to set riders on them. How then can you repulse a single captain among the least of my master's servants when you trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Moreover, is it without the Lord that I have come up against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.' Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, 'Please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. Do not speak to us in the language of Judah within the hearing of the people who are on the wall.' But the Rabshakeh said, 'Has my master sent to me to speak these words to your master and to you, and not to the men sitting on the wall who are doomed with you to eat their own dung and drink their own urine?' Then Rabshakeh stood and called out in a loud voice in the language of Judah, 'Hear the words of the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Do not let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord by saying, "The Lord will surely deliver us." This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. For thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me. Then each of you will eat of your own vine, each of his own fig tree, and each one of you will drink the water of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah mislead you by saying, "The Lord will deliver us." Has any of the gods of the nations delivered his hand out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among the gods of these lands have delivered their lands out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand?" But they were silent and answered him not a word, for the king's command was, "Do not answer him." Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household of Shebna the secretary, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh.
May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy, inspired word. We're going to be thinking more about the people of God in our message this morning, and the great danger which came to them back in Isaiah's time. So I ask you to turn to the second portion of our Old Testament scripture reading now. Isaiah chapter 37, it's on page 596 in the Pew Bibles. And as Rod has read the first part, I'll now complete the passage. As soon as Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the secretary, and the senior priest, covered with sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. They said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah, this is the day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Children have come to the point of birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to mock the living God, and will rebuke the words that the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left." When the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, "Say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, which the young men of the king of Assyria have reviled me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him, so that he will hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land." The Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, for he had heard that the king had left Lachish. Now the king heard concerning Tirhakah, the king of Cush. "He has set out to fight against you." And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah saying, "Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah. Do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you by promising that Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, devoting them to destruction. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, the nations that my fathers destroyed, Gozen, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who are in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of the Sephariam, the king of Hena, and the king of Iva?" Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone. And of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste to all the nations in their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are the Lord." Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. She despises you. She scorns you, the virgin daughter of Zion. She wags her head behind you, the daughter of Jerusalem. Whom have you mocked and reviled? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes to the heights? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your servants you have mocked the Lord, and you have said, 'With my many chariots I have gone up the heights of the mountains to the far recesses of Lebanon, to cut down its tallest cedars, its choicest cypresses, to come to its remotest height, its most fruitful forest. I dug wells and drank waters to dry up the sole of my foot, all with the sole of my foot, all the streams of Egypt. Have you not heard that I determined it long ago? I planned from days of old what now I bring to pass, that you should make fortified cities crash into heaps of ruins, while their inhabitants, shorn of strength, are dismayed and confounded, and have become like plants of the field and like tender grass, like grass on the housetops blighted before it is grown. I know you're sitting down and you're going out and you're coming in and you're raging against me. Because you have raged against me and your complacency has come to my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will turn you back on the way by which you came. And this shall be a sign for you. This year you shall eat what grows of itself, and in the second year, what springs from that. Then in the third year, sow and reap and plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city or shoot an arrow there, or come before it with a shield or cast up a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return. And he shall not come into the city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. When the people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived at Nineveh. And as he was worshiping in the house of Nishrash, his god, Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, struck him down with a sword. And after they escaped into the land of Ararat, Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. This is God's word. May we hear it, and may it touch our hearts and lives. Congregation of Christ, one of the ruling elders in our presbytery is the president and CEO of a business in Green Bay, which has for its motto the words, "We did what we said we would do." I've always thought that that was a great motto for a company. It says about them that being true to their word is one of their highest values. I've changed that motto slightly to serve as the title for our message this morning. For this passage is all about the fact that God did what he said he would do. The book of Isaiah at this point changes its literary form from prophetic utterances to prose narrative. It's not the first time in the book of Isaiah that we've encountered prose. We came across it in chapters 6 and 7 and 8. And there seems to be a connection here in chapter 36, where our passage starts, to what we read earlier, way back when we were looking at Isaiah chapter 7. Back in chapter 7, Ahaz was the king of Judah. He wasn't a good king. And in chapter 7, verse 3, we find Ahaz meeting with Isaiah and Isaiah's son, Sheer-Jashub, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. There, Ahaz rejected the word of the Lord. Ahaz was afraid because the northern kingdom of Israel and the neighboring country of Syria had struck an alliance together against Judah. Isaiah told the king of Judah not to fear. God would defend the kingdom against her enemies. Isaiah even invited Ahaz to ask for a sign from the Lord that this would be true. But Ahaz refused to ask for a sign. In his heart, he could not rely on the Lord. Instead, he pinned his hope in defeating those two nations which were allied against him with the prospect of inviting the king of Assyria to be his ally. Well, the Lord gave Ahaz a sign anyway. It was the sign of a virgin bearing a child. And Isaiah told Ahaz right there at the washer's field that the day would come when God would bring upon him and his people the king of Assyria. You might want to turn back in your Bible and look at what Isaiah said to Ahaz back then. Isaiah chapter 7. I'm going to start reading at verse 17. Isaiah 7:17, the Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. In that day, the Lord will whistle for the fly that is at the end of the streams of Egypt and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they will all come and settle in the steep ravines and in the clefts of the rocks and on all the thorn bushes and on all the pastures. And that day the Lord will shave with a razor that is hired beyond the river with the king of Assyria the head and the hair of the feet, and it will sweep away the beard also. And that day a man will keep alive a young cow and two sheep. Because of the abundance of milk that they give, he will eat curds. For everyone who is left in the land will eat curds and honey. In that day, every place where there used to be 1,000 vines worth 1,000 shekels of silver will become briars and thorns. With bow and arrows a man will come there. For all the land will be briars and thorns. And as for all the hills that used to be hoed with a hoe, you will not come there for fear of briars and thorns, but they will become a place where cattle are let loose and where sheep tread. Because Ahaz rejected the word of the Lord and instead trusted what he could do through diplomacy with the king of Assyria, God would send the king of Assyria against Judah. God would shave the land like a razor with the king of Assyria. People would keep some sheep and livestock, a young cow and two sheep, and they would live on the milk and the curds that those animals provided, along with some honey that they might find in the land. But their agriculture would be destroyed. Their vineyards would become thorns and briars. Their cattle would roam loose, looking for something to eat. Great disaster would come upon them in the day when God whistles for the king of Assyria and summons him to come. Isaiah 36 also takes place at the washer's field. It was the 14th year of Hezekiah's reign. Hezekiah was a good king. He instituted many reforms trying to lead the people of Judah back to the Lord their God. He got rid of the high places, those unauthorized places of worship. He cut down the Asherah poles where Baal was worshipped. He even broke into pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made because the people of Israel were worshiping it and bringing offerings to it as if it were a god. Hezekiah was relentless in getting rid of idolatry. He was a good king, but he had his faults. When Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came against Judah, and began taking all of the fortified cities around Judah, Hezekiah tried to buy him off. Hezekiah sent silver and gold to Sennacherib. Some of it came from the silver found in the temple of the Lord, and the gold which covered the temple's doors, as well as silver and gold from Hezekiah's own palace. He should have been praying to the Lord back then. His efforts to buy off Sennacherib didn't stop the king of Assyria from making his way toward Jerusalem. Sennacherib and his armies were coming against Judah and Jerusalem. God was doing what he had said he would do. Hezekiah had fortified the walls of Jerusalem several years earlier. And when Sennacherib was still at a distance, Hezekiah ordered that all of the wells surrounding Jerusalem be stopped up and all the waters diverted underground toward Jerusalem so that the Assyrian army, when they came, wouldn't have an easy source of water in the event of a siege. He did all that was humanly possible to prepare for the arrival of the enemy. That's why we see him at the opening of chapter 36 at the washer's field by the conduit of the upper pool. He's checking the water supply. He took preparations against the enemy. Those aren't bad things to do. They're good things. And yet, we don't find Hezekiah at this time praying to the Lord his God. Hezekiah was as human and frail as you and I are. We'll see more of that in the coming chapters. He was trying to be a good king, but much of what he did was in his own power and strength. The fortified cities of Judah fell one by one. In Isaiah chapter 10, verses 28 to 32, Isaiah names the cities the armies of the king of Assyria would pass through and conquer. The armies of Sennacherib moved toward Jerusalem. Sennacherib himself was still at a distance at Lachish, dealing with one of the last of the fortified cities of Judah outside of Jerusalem. He sent his servant, the Rabshakeh, to bring about the surrender of Jerusalem. We've read of the Rabshakeh's words to the officials whom Hezekiah sent to speak with him. The Rabshakeh boasted of the greatness of the king of Assyria. His words were aimed at undermining any hope or trust the people might still have. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, cannot save you. He's like a broken staff of a reed which pierces the hand of anyone who leans on it. And if you say, we trust in the Lord our God, isn't he the one whose high places Hezekiah has removed? The Rabshakeh conceived of the Lord no differently than he thought of the gods of any other of the nations. The Rabshakeh offered chariots and horses to the defenders of Jerusalem if only they could find enough riders to set upon them. And then he said something that was quite true. How he knew it, we're not precisely told. But in chapter 36 of Isaiah, verse 10, it says, "Moreover, is it without the Lord that I have come up against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land to destroy it." God, in chapter 10 of the book of Isaiah's prophecies, declares that he had summoned the Assyrians. He called Assyria the rod of my anger. And he said that the staff in their hands is the staff of my fury. "Against a godless nation I send him, says the Lord, and against the people of my wrath I command him to take spoil and seize plunder and to tread them down like mire of the streets." It was true that God sent the Assyrians against Judah in Jerusalem. But when God had Isaiah utter these things about the Assyrians, he prefaced his words with that little word, "Woe." Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger. And God did what he said he would do. When Hezekiah's servants asked the Rabshakeh to speak to them in Aramaic so that the people wouldn't hear his words, the Rabshakeh became insolent and vulgar. But he was doing what God had said long ago he would do. The axe was boasting against him who hews it. The Rabshakeh was mocking the God of Israel. And it was that mockery that finally brought Hezekiah to his knees. According to 2 Chronicles 32, Isaiah the prophet also prayed with Hezekiah. They cried to heaven because of the haughty and irreverent words the Rabshakeh had spoken. Isaiah's prayer found in Isaiah 37:15-20 is one of the most beautiful prayers in the whole Old Testament. "The king of Judah bowed humbly before God and prayed, 'O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all nations in their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are the Lord." Hezekiah's prayer wasn't simply about the danger that his people were facing. They deserved to be exposed to the chastening hand of God exercised by the armies of the king of Assyria. Hezekiah didn't ask about that. He did ask God to save them, to save his people. But it wasn't because God should show mercy on his sinful people. Hezekiah knew that they didn't deserve mercy. What Hezekiah asked God to do was to save Jerusalem for his own name's sake. He asked God to show that he alone was God and that all the gods of the nations were but idols. God answered Hezekiah's prayer. God gave Isaiah the prophet a message to give to Hezekiah, which he in turn gave to the Rabshakeh, who sent it on to Sennacherib. Whom have you mocked and reviled? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes to the heights? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your servants you have mocked the Lord, and you have said, with my many chariots I have gone up to the heights of the mountains, to the far recesses of Lebanon, to cut its tallest cedars down, its choicest cypress, to come to its remotest height, its most fruitful forest. I dug wells and drank waters to dry up with the sole of my foot all the streams of Egypt. That's what the king of Assyria said. But have you not heard that I determined it long ago, says the Lord? I planned from days of old what I now bring to pass. That you should make fortified cities crash into heaps of ruins, while their inhabitants, shorn of strength, are dismayed and confounded, and have become like plants of the field, and like tender grass, like grass on the housetops, blighted before it is grown. I know you're sitting down, and you're going out, and you're coming in, and you're raging against me. Because you have raged against me, and your complacency has come to my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will make you turn back by the way you came. And God did what he said he would do. Verse 36 tells us, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. It was what God said he would do in Isaiah 10, 16 and 17. Listen to these words. Therefore the Lord God of hosts will send a wasting sickness among his stout warriors, and under his glory a burning will be kindled like the burning of fire. The light of Israel will become a fire, and his Holy One a flame, and it will burn and devour his thorns and briars in one day. God rescued his people that day. He showed that he was true to his word. He brought the Assyrians against his people to punish them for their sins. That was being true to his word. He punished the arrogance of the king of Assyria, who through his Rabshakeh boasted against the living God. Again, he showed himself true to his word. He afflicted the Assyrian army with a wasting disease brought about by the angel of the Lord, as he said he would through his prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz. He showed the truth of his word about the man who trusts in him. In Isaiah 26:3, he said, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." We see that to be true in Hezekiah. God is true to his word. He did what he said he would do. So what is the application for us? What can we learn from the fact that God does what he says he will do? Well, first, we should learn that God doesn't threaten judgment in vain. Throughout the Bible, God has said that he will punish sin. He told Adam and Eve, in the day in which you eat of it, that fruit that he told them not to eat of, you will surely die. Satan told them that what God said was false. You will not die. But what God said was true. God said to Moses that he is a jealous God, and he will not share his glory with another. He will not tolerate idols. He said that he visits the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate him. When you're tempted by some secret sin, remember, God watches over your ways. If you're a father, think about what God says about visiting the sins of the fathers upon the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. God makes no idle threats. He does what he says he will do. God says that he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When you're tempted to live your life as if you were the center of the universe, when you're tempted to trust in what your own hand can do, not relying on God or seeking his leading, remember that God resists the proud and that he does what he says he will do. But there's another point we should take home with us from this passage this morning. The fact that God does what he says he will do means that God also keeps his promises. He hears prayer. He heard Hezekiah's prayer and answered it. He keeps the enemies of his people from afflicting them beyond measure. He provides a way of escape from sin for those who trust in him. God keeps his promises. He does what he says he will do. And his greatest promise, we've already seen scattered throughout this book of Isaiah, it's the promise that he would send the Messiah. And what he said he would do in sending the Messiah, he has done by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to be the Savior. And he says, whoever believes on him will not perish, but will have eternal life. God does what he says he will do. Take him at his word. Treat his threats seriously. Trust his promises. And run to him for safety, to the one he has appointed as the world's only Savior, Jesus the Messiah, God's own Son. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord our God, help us to learn from this great account of history where you brought the armies of the Assyrians against your people, that you always do what you say you will do. Help us to know it in our hearts, Lord, that you are true to your threats and you are true to your promises. And help us, Lord, to take refuge in our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not to be strangers to prayer or slow to come before you. For, Lord, you are our only source of salvation. You alone are God. And Jesus Christ, your Son, alone is our Savior. We give you thanks for him. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.